You're with Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, back again with Kate Lochte, and on the phone we're joined by ceramics professor John Hasegawa of the Paducah School of Art and Design. John, welcome to Sounds Good.
Yeah, well, nice to talk to you, Tracy.
So tonight you have an open studio to benefit the Empty Bowls Project starting at 6. Tell me about what, can anybody participate in this, or do you need to be a trained ceramicist?
Oh, no, we're looking for people of all skill levels, so we'll have a few professional potters and then some people with experience in clay. But also we'll have some people who never worked in clay before there, and we'll be helping them, showing them how to make bowls or do other tasks around the studio. We're basically trying to open the studio up so it's just a fun experience for any skill level.
And you'll be doing it again next Monday night at 6. And we'll be speaking with Michael Tara next week about the Empty Bowls Project. Paducah's, in particular, has grown to accommodate hundreds of people, like maybe even over 1,000 people were there last year.
Oh, at Empty Bowls? I can't actually remember. Yeah, I think it's about that. Michael has the real numbers on that. Yeah, but
yeah.
It's over 1,000.
We'll be speaking with him, but it is a huge project, and so the Paducah School of Art and Design is participating, facilitating in production, because everybody gets to keep the bowl full, you know, that has been full of soup for this fundraiser for the community kitchen. Now, I caught you because of this caught my eye that you're opening the studios for this project. And we also missed getting you to speak about the 2014 National Ceramics Invitational that's currently on view. I'd love for you to tell me who is included in that invitational, who's showing, and how long it's going to be up.
Yeah, we have several artists, I think 10 artists. CJ House, she's our resident artist. She's participating. She has some great work. We have Rob Boomer Moore from West Virginia University. He's a faculty member there. John Neely, Tom O'Malley, Lindsay Oyster, Jason Hess, Patty Chalmers, Carol Snyder, and Ted Alder. So we have these are all really well-known artists from around the country, and we feel like they're a great representation of kind of what ceramics is like today and at the highest level.
How would you put that in a descriptive paragraph if you were to say what ceramics is today at the highest level? What is it?
Well, this time I invited mostly functional potters, so there's a few sculptors in there. But I wanted to, since we're getting ready to start our wood kiln, fire wood for the first time, I think about half of these people are wood fire artists, so I wanted to use this show as an opportunity to invite some of the best wood fire artists that I know to participate in the show. And that partially fulfills one of our missions at the school, to use the gallery as a teaching space.
Now, when you say wood fire, is this as delicate as, say, the Japanese masters in wood fire? Is this a matter of people actually understanding temperature achievement through wood?
Yeah, well, this is actually wood firing. Actually, we fire to a very high temperature, and usually our kilns are fired with gas or electricity. But we built one primitive kiln that's fired using wood. So the only fuel that we put into this kiln will be wood logs. And we can get this kiln up to 2,300 degrees in about a day, just all fired with wood, just a lot like the way they run a locomotive. There's kind of a hatch that you have to open, a steam-powered locomotive. There's a hatch that you have to open, you throw wood in, and the wood burns up. And then it's like a giant, you can think of the kiln like a giant battery. Each piece of wood is a little piece of energy, and the kiln stores this heat energy, and it can get very hot.
How does the fire differ from, how does the finished product differ because of the fuel difference?
That's a great question. The surface of the pots can be unglazed when they go in, and the wood ash flies around the kiln, and actually some of it will land on the pottery. And the kiln gets so hot that the wood ash turns to a glaze and melts on the surface. And so But because the wood ash is mainly flying in from one direction, the pot will mainly get ash and glazed on one side. It'll be different, have a different kind of glaze on the other from the ash. And it allows the pot to be very environmental looking and very asymmetrical looking. And it's a way for you for the process to kind of have a voice in the creation of the pot. And it's actually the first way that they feel that the pots were ever glazed.
Is this your method of choice as a potter yourself?
Oh, I really enjoy it, and if I could, I'd do everything in wood fire, but it's very labor-intensive, and it's very kind of a little bit more random than a regular firing, and so it's hard to tell if you're going to get a good batch of pots out or a bad batch of pots out, but I really enjoy it. It's probably my most favorite way of firing. So we'll probably fire this kiln maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Well, we'll fire the other kilns maybe once a month. So we do more. We do more of the other types of firing.
All I'm thinking of is roasting a pig overnight. Do you have to stay up overnight and keep the fire going?
Yes, it's actually a very sophisticated looking kiln. It actually looks a lot like a regular kiln. It's made out of hard brick, and so it's completely enclosed because that's the only way you can store that amount of heat without it all lifting away. So it actually looks a lot like a regular kiln. It's made out of old brick, and it has a big stack out the back. So that the smokestack is probably about 14 feet tall, and you just shove wood in all day long. And so since we go up so high in temperature, the pottery itself ends up very durable and very rugged, as rugged as any other piece of pottery you'd buy at, like, the Pottery Barn or anything like that.
I'm looking at one of the pieces included in the show, I think. Is it Robert Moore's Peapod Tray?
Yeah, Robert Boomer, actually, is his name. He goes by Boomer. Nobody calls him Robert.
How large is that?
His teapot tray, that's actually pretty big. It's probably about 8 inches tall, probably about 12 inches wide.
It's very whimsical.
Yeah, and he loves that. He's such a nice guy, and he's very funny and very easygoing, and so he bases a lot of his pottery on that sort of whimsy. He also makes a whole line of ceramic toys that are like that. That aren't really toys that you would play with, but it looks like a toy that someone had just finished playing with, and they're very fun.
Now, these are all on display in the lobby of the Clemens Fine Arts Center at West Kentucky Community and Technical College in Paducah. But the activity tonight is, in fact, at the Paducah School of Art and Design, which is in Lower Town. Give me directions.
We are at the corner of 9th and Madison in Lower Town, and the actual address is 919 Madison Street, Paducah, Kentucky, 4001.
And tell me about the program of instruction in ceramics that you're offering now.
Oh, yeah, we have several classes. We have mainly a Ceramics 1 class, which is a beginning level ceramics, and that's usually offered Monday, Wednesday afternoons from 12:30 to 3:30. And we have another Ceramics 1 at Tuesday, Thursday evening from 6:30 to 9:15. We also have a Ceramics 2 class, which allows students who want to continue their ceramic education. That usually meets Tuesday, Thursday morning. And those are all great classes, and we have a lot of students that kind of keep enrolling. We are a community college, so we serve as a community class too. And it allows students, ceramics is very equipment intensive, so it's very difficult for you to set up your own studio at home because you need just lots of equipment and lots of space, and it's kind of messy. So the ceramics studio provides a great opportunity for people to come and work in clay.
John, when did you know you would be a ceramicist for life?
Oh, it kind of happened gradually, but I was actually a math major in college, and I needed a class that was supposedly easy. I was getting kind of burnt out. And someone said, take the ceramics class. You can get a good grade for not much work. So I took the class, and I really enjoyed it. And I keep taking it, and I graduated with a math degree. And about a year after I graduated, I realized the thing I really enjoyed the most was my ceramics classes. So I went back to college again to get my ceramics degree.
And it turned out it wasn't as easy as you thought.
No, and actually in my first ceramics class, I was probably one of the worst students. But I think I liked it the most, so I kept doing it, and I would think I'm the best now.
Well, John, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
About the open studio tonight at the Paducah School of Art and Design to make bowls for the Empty Bowls Project. Again, the studio is at 9th and Madison in downtown Paducah, and also the 2014 National Ceramics Invitational that John curated is on view through mid-February at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, also in Paducah.